I'm starting the Good Glow with a huge announcement. Jingle all the way. I know it's only March, guys, but the Good Glow is returning to the National Concert Hall for the very last time this December. And we're going out with a bang. We've got guests joining us that have never joined us on stage at the Good Glow shows before. We've got live Christmas music. This is, think of it as your official start to Christmas. It's taking place on Saturday, December 6th. Tickets go on sale this Thursday. So why am I announcing it this early? Well, Mother's Day is around the corner. I know that this night is such a huge tradition for not just mother and daughters, but for sisters, for soul sisters. So I wanted to put the tickets on sale this week. I'll leave a link in the show notes, and those tickets will be available from Thursday. So join us as we wave goodbye to the concert hall for a number of years for our show, Jingle All The Way. And we're going to put everything into this show this year. And I know, as I said, it's a tradition for many of you. So I hope that you will join us on the night. So over to Trini Woodall. I'm sure everyone knows who Trini is. If you don't, she founded her brand Trini London in her 50s. She is now on the Forbes 50 over 50 list. Her beauty empire, it's a $72 million a year beauty empire with over a million customers in over 180 countries. She sold her house to start it. You might remember her from the noughties, from her fashion TV show, Trini and Susanna. But today, Trini's taking time out of her enormously busy schedule to speak to us, whether you're walking your baby around in a park or you're a female founder on the way to the office. This is a podcast for every woman, because she speaks about looking at the world like it's limitless. We speak about evolving. We speak about believing in yourself, following your heart. It's a gorgeous podcast, and I really hope you're going to enjoy it. I recorded this in New York at 6 a.m. the morning. I got up at 4, so my face looked awake for Trini. Very important. And we really hit it off. So I hope you enjoy this podcast. Before we get into it, I just wanted to thank Electrocell for supporting the Good Glow this year. A simple way to stay on top of your hydration, not just for athletes. Electrocell is for anyone who wants an easy way to stay hydrated, whether you're at work, out for a walk, or just getting on with your day. It can also be used to stay hydrated in hot weather. It's available in 3 flavors. There's always one that's perfect for you, with a mix of key electrolytes like sodium, potassium, and magnesium. Find Electrocell at your local pharmacy or visit electrocell.ie for more. Electrocell is a food supplement and should not replace a balanced diet. Always read the label before use. Trini, how are you? Welcome to the Good Glow.
I'm good, but you're in New York having got up at 4 a.m. So, I mean, you should be asking yourself that. How are you?
I had to get up early, obviously, because I wanted my skin to look nice on this call. So I was trying to wake up my face before I spoke to you. But how are you? How's life for you at the moment?
Life is good. Life is, there's a lot on. You know, I'm like you, I'm back and forth to New York every month. And I was in Abu Dhabi last week at a women's conference for Forbes. So it's wearing the hat of being a CEO with also the things we like to support and do as a brand. So we really like to support female founders. So we did our mini, it was quite funny. I went from this mini, we did an International Women's Day day at our office, and we have these elevator pitch women who come and get on my feed and pitch their business. So we had 50 of them come for the sort of 7 hours. And it was great for my team. It was really good for them. And it was and then I went to Forbes, which was doing it in Abu Dhabi on a grand scale with a budget of millions, you know, because they celebrate the 30 under 30 and the 50 over 50, which is a list that they do every year of women around the world. And I happened to be on the 50 over 50 list this year.
Wow. How did you get that call about Forbes? And like, do those big moments, are they important to you?
That was an important moment to me, because I think I'd admired that list. And I hadn't admired the list to begin with, because I don't think about age much, apart from when people define things by age. So then I do get in on the act. So I'd always heard about the 30 under 30, and I go to a lot of tech conferences like Founders Forum, because we are a tech-led driven business. And I would always, you know, people would put on the top of their Instagram, I'm a Forbes 30 under 30. And I thought, why is it only that age? I'm sorry, I'm starting a business too. And I felt so excluded. And then they suddenly launched this 50 over 50. And I was like, that'd be a good list to be on. There's not many things where I go, I'd really like to be a part of that group of people. But I thought that would be an interesting group of women around the world. And then I was on it this year. So, yeah.
Oh, congratulations. That's like just such a pinch me moment, I'm sure.
It was, yeah.
I think for me, like when I look at you and I started my business in my 30s. And for 10 years before that, when I worked in radio, I always told myself it was too late for me. I had missed the boat. I did the wrong degree. I was in the wrong career. And I was watching people all around me succeed. And I felt like it wasn't happening for me. I just completely felt left behind.
How old were you at this stage?
I was 30.
I didn't start till I was 35 in the business I'm in, you know, in my next stage of my career.
It goes to show like how those stories that we tell ourselves can completely define our lives mm-hmm. and keep us small. And tell us about like starting Trini London and, you know, what that transition was like into that next phase of your life.
I'm glad you call it a next phase. Some people call it reinvention. And I'm like, reinvention is when you discard everything you've done before. And you don't realize the value it brings to what you're doing today. And for me, it was that evolution of going from what I'd done, you know, I'd done finance in my 20s, which I hated. Then I went into making over women or what not to wear and writing books, which I did for about 15 years in England and around the world. And that gave me all of my momentum to start Trini London because I learned so much about women. I learned a lot about women in the UK. I learned even more about women around the world because I did sort of India, Israel, Poland, Scandinavia, America, Australia. And so what I found the most fascinating thing is whatever your religion, the color of your skin, the age you are actually, it's about the feeling you have. And I think that for me was that kind of light bulb moment that I thought, you know, it's our emotive relationship with everything as women. And a lot of women that I came across who thought, I need a nudge or I'm at a bit of a crossroads or I don't know how to move forward. And it could be a girl who's 18, you know, trying to grow up or had to grow up very early and then trying to come to terms with things. And it had stopped her moving forward in some way in her life. It might have been a woman who had a child and all her friends are still working hard and she's feeling left behind. It could be somebody who's going to menopause thinking what happened. But there are these moments where emotionally we just lose sight for a second. And I thought, I want to be there. Because in the Mako show, that's when we were there. We would choose women at that crossroads who needed a nudge, who were still women's women. I love women's women. Mm. And so when we did this show, I saw the change that makeup did. It enabled them to then emotionally see other things. So I thought if I could start with that, then it's limitless how many women you could affect. Because otherwise, you know, for me, it was I had to get there with the crew, do a show, make over 28 women in a series. You know, there was a finite number of women I could get to. So the idea that I could actually make something that would at home in some woman's life make her feel she'd had a shift or she wasn't judging herself harshly. And so in a way that gave me the impetus and also realizing through all those shows that every woman is different. And I think I was somewhat frustrated by what women were presented with. You know, you go to the makeup counter, first of all, the person behind the makeup counter is either wearing so much makeup it freaks you out or they have really bad skin and you think you're trying to sell me skincare or they are too old or too young. That trust is really important. So how else can you create trust? Because it takes trust to buy into something. And I thought that, you know, people trust me. So I'm going to start with that. And I'm going to create products from scratch so that I feel that, you know, we can talk about them with real candor. And I think that's been the two biggest point of difference that I wanted to establish was we are emotionally connected to you and we understand where you're at as a woman. So please trust us. And let me deliver you things that are for you, but not for your best friend, because we can buy in herds. We can do things in herds. Irish women love doing things together. I've seen them on Saturday. It's like, we'll have an outing. Oh, we all love that cream. Let's buy it. You know, you've got a dry skin. You're 20. You're whatever age. You've got spots. You know, but let's all buy it.
Or we're still using the same thing we were when we were 18.
Exactly. And it's sort of, yeah, it's that reset moment. You know, our kind of three-worded phrase is rethink your routine. And it's that moment to take a step back. And it can apply to anything. Mm-hmm. It could be the routine of your life, the routine of your day, the routine of your skincare and makeup, the routine of being with the partner you're with, and do you still love it? You know, I love
big question.
rethink your routine.
I love that, because if we don't change, nothing changes. And that's how I was. And I was speaking to a performance psychologist, Jerry Hussey, on my podcast last week. And we were talking about, you know, are you revolving or are you evolving? And what you have done is evolved, you know, put...
I love that phrase. Are you revolving or are you evolving? It's very good. I haven't heard
it. It's so good, isn't it? It really makes you stop and think. Yeah. But like you going out and meeting all those women for so many years, like that was the hard work that you got to then put into your brand. I liked what you said there about limitless, because I think sometimes we can look at the world and feel like it's limited.
Is the world limited or are we limiting ourselves? That's the difference.
Yeah. And like we could look, you know, when you were in that kind of transition period and you're looking at the cosmetics world, like to have the belief in yourself to step into that arena, where did that come from?
I think sometimes you're propelled because, you know, you just have to do it. And different things propel you. And I had different things that happened to me in my life that sort of propelled me forward. And at different stages, you know, I grew up with a quite privileged life. And at one stage, you know, I was thinking, I'll gently decide what I want to do. But my dad had some really tough things that in business didn't go well. So at, you know, 17, 18, I was thinking, okay, I've got to go straight into a job here, need to earn some money. And I had a Saturday job before I left school and stuff, working in a delicatessen, cutting meat. I always cut it too quickly and they would dock my pay. I never forget that. But those, you know, it was circumstance made me have to rethink that Cinderella moment's never going to happen to you, Trini. You've got to make your own way in life, you know. So that was that first probably reset. And then also I dabbled in addiction for quite a few years. And when I came out of rehab and I was 26, 27, I was thinking, you know, that was a reset. That was a big reset. That was, what do I actually want to do? Not what do I think everybody else wants me to do? Or what should I do to be noticed by my dad? Or what should I do to be, you know? So that was that moment of, you know, peeling back layers of the onion. And it's a tough thing for anyone who's gone into addiction and come out the other side, because you can have a real sense of a sort of wobbly onion vulnerability and you have to slightly build yourself back as you discover who you are. But it also gives you the opportunity to think, okay, let's start afresh. And that was a real start afresh moment. There was nothing probably would I take from my past. Yes, because going through that teaches you a lot about life very quickly. Mm. But it gave me the opportunity to think, what do I actually want to do? As opposed to, you know, I come across many women who do something because their dad wants them to do this, or their mum feels they should do this, or they have a tiger parent, or they're rebelling fully against their parents and therefore they go and do something crazy and wacky. But they haven't sat down and thought, what do I actually want to do? And if they don't know what they want to do, I say, it's fine. And because it will evolve and it will happen, and it will come to you. And you need some life experience to help you refine what it is that's going to get you out of bed in the morning and make you feel excited.
Yeah, and your brand wouldn't be what it is today without those years of experience.
Yeah.
I have a daughter, Pia, who's 8. And when we want to go and like do something fun and be like heart led, we have names for ourselves, Trixie and Trini. And we go off for the day and we just like, let's be Trixie and Trini today. And we just have so much fun. And I think you're very heart led. And maybe I picked the name Trini because of you, because you're so your authentic self. And like, that's inspiring for people.
I think it's important to be that, because I think I spent many years hiding, you know, behind insecurity. And then people don't get to know you. And that became quite a cold exterior, but very vulnerable inside. And so it was challenging when you felt nobody understood you, but I just was not giving any of myself because I was too scared to, probably. And then when you get through the other side, and sometimes it does need traumatic events or trauma or other things that do make you have to open up to your vulnerabilities. And certain things have happened in my life. The death of Lila's father is probably one of them, where we've had to work through things and come out the other side. But when I was in Abu Dhabi last week, and there was a town hall, which is a panel of all the people who'd spoken all week with the audience. And the woman, the mediator, asked the first question. She asked it to me. And we'd all before that been speaking about inspirational women's moments and businessy stuff. And so she said, what was that moment when you knew you just had to do it? You know, what was that moment? And I then just said, when my daughter's father committed suicide. And, you know, then told that story, which is not what she expected me to say. She was sort of, you know, I realized with when I went to the investment,
But yeah.
then what it did is then those five women, and there were some amazing women in that town hall, but they'd all spoken in thing. They all suddenly spoke very from the heart. And they'd spoken from the heart differently before, but they'd spoken the heart as if they were in a gospel, you know, a wonderful gospel church on the pulpit. Very different speaking from the heart than the intimacy that suddenly happened there. And sometimes if you can facilitate intimacy and vulnerability in other women, it gives the women who don't have a voice the opportunity to feel better about themselves. And it's always remembering that. So I think I always remember the more I can be candid and vulnerable, it will help the person who finds it difficult to vocalize their thoughts.
Yeah, so true. And sometimes there's just so much jargon and bullshit, you know, when people are speaking. And it's like, what are you actually trying to say? And you change the energy in the room that day by being vulnerable and telling your story, which then allows other people to lean into theirs, I think.
Yeah.
Because I think those worst moments in our life can crack us open and bring us, you know, I always say to people who are contacting me and saying, I've just been diagnosed with cancer, or I'm going through a divorce. And actually, Dr. Shefali talks about it. She's one of Oprah's friends. And she talks about this tunnel that women go through. And the tunnel in your life is inevitable. You're going to go through it, whether you resist it and try not to get into the tunnel. But the tunnel, she says, is coming for you. But once you go through the tunnel, whether that's a life change, admitting that you're not happy in your relationship, you know, quitting the job that makes you freaking miserable every day, and you come out the other side of the tunnel and then everything looks different. But we're so scared of that change.
Yeah, it's so true that it is the leading up to making that decision is the hardest thing. I had a home that I had wanted to have for years, and I'd wanted to live really close to my daughter's school. I had this romantic notion. I wanted to pick her up from school and walk her home, and I'd always had to take the car. So I laid my eyes on this house, and it was a time when I was still earning quite a lot of money from TV. But I knew that, I still was. So I bought the house. I got a really big mortgage. I also got a loan. And so the equity in the property was maybe 20%. The rest was all loans, maybe 30%. And then I did it up and I moved in. And about 6 months after I moved in, my TV work was waning purposefully because I was getting the idea for Trinity London and I needed, in a way, something to be removed to propel me forward. Hmm. But also I had these really big overheads and I had, you know, I'd wanted this house for so long. And I had spent so long doing it up and my daughter loved it. And I separated from my husband. It was our first home afterwards. It was just meant everything. And I woke up one day realizing I couldn't afford to live in the home. So step one was I was also starting Trinity London and I got a little house in Fulham and I rented it out. And then I realized I'd have to sell the house. And before I did that, I had sold my clothes because I thought I need, you know, I'd got a little bit of funding for the business. I'd gone through it because we'd done formulations and we'd done trademarks. And I started to look at the sort of actual physical stack, how I was going to make that and got prototypes made. And so I then thought I'll sell my clothes. So I did all these things in order to not sell the house. But I kind of knew I'd have to sell the house. And it was about 6 months, that decision. And I was just so, in that 6 months, I sort of mourned it. I had the funeral for it. And so by the time I sold it, And then also lots of things happened. I moved in with my boyfriend, so I had a place to live, you know. But it was what that house had meant to me, because it was a recognition of 20 years of grafting. And I had to let go of it with an unknown. And somebody says this thing to me, and I'm sure you've had it before, but you've just got to jump off the mountain without knowing there is a net, you know. So there was a net, you know, there was a net. It was still challenging, but I, you know, I have this thing, and I sometimes look at it in interviews when I say it, I don't own a home, and I'm like, oh, that just sounds so... But oddly, I don't mind. I'm spending quite a lot of money in rent, but I might be spending quite a lot of money on a mortgage. And it gives me the freedom to, if I want to go on a nice holiday, I go on a nice holiday, you know, because I work really fucking hard. And for me, the most important things I can do in my life are to create these really great memories with my stepson and my daughter and friends and have experiences together.
Obviously, you're over in America a lot. Are you able to keep up with the growth of Trini London in your own brain?
I think that the biggest challenge when you grow a business, there's many challenges when you grow a business. But when we started, we were, you know, five people. We're now, including retail, 320 people.
Wow.
It's a lot. And I'm CEO. And I have then an executive team. And on that executive team is an MD, a CMO is joining us soon, a chief innovation officer who looks after the new product development. We have somebody who's in charge of the people team. We have somebody who is in charge of the commercial team. We've got somebody who's in charge of the retail team, and so on, so on. So there's eight in that team. And we then have everyone else who works in the business. So scaling is about how you do as a CEO what you are best at and what only you can do. So I used to do everything and need to know about everything. And there's certain things that I am intuitively best at and some things that I do because I have to do them. So I'm intuitively good at new product development, understanding skincare, and my chief technology, my chief innovation officer is a chemist. So she has far more knowledge than me, but I have a sense of ingredients and we have our own lab and I am, you know, very, very involved in formulations and I adore it. I adore the science behind it. I adore the learning. We go and find amazing new ingredients. We put together things. You know, our eye cream took 57 iterations. We're obsessed. And I love that. You know, Wednesdays is my new product development day. Tuesdays is my marketing day. So what are we doing brand? What are we doing on communications, influencer, etc. Then I have around the week tech. So tech falls into what are we doing on personalization? What are we doing on retention of customer? What are we doing on acquisition of customer? So those are probably my sweet spot areas and customer journey on the side. So those are my sweet spot areas. Building out the five-year plan, finance, for me is top line figures. I look at the daily reporting. I look at, you know, we have weekly trade meetings. We look at where are we at in trade compared to our projections and our forecast and what do we need to introduce or are we ahead or are we behind, etc. But the detail of that, we have a great finance director too. So it takes a really good team. It takes employing a really good team to build a business. And it takes a CEO knowing what can only they do. And there was a woman called Linda who used to be at NBC Universal and she now runs X. And I remember I had the pleasure of having lunch with her once. She's quite a formidable woman. And she said to me, Trini, do what only you can do. And it stuck with me. It was a very good one. And then the other thing that I learned a lot in scaling a business, I learned from my talent lead very recently, because when you talked about that stress level, and we can all get stressed as we're growing things or there's more and more coming into our life, clarity of communication is one of the most important things. And when you build a team, they need to understand what you're trying to communicate. And because some of them have known you from day one, you sort of think they know you really well. But 40% of the people who work at Trini London today did not work here last year because we're growing quite a lot.
Wow.
So she gave me this thing and I love it so much. There's three ways I communicate now with the team. In my head, I know this. And when I started doing it, I explained it to them. So there's OMO. This is only my opinion. So this should be an equal discussion. Everyone has their opinion. I'm just throwing in my opinion. And for them to appreciate, it's just my opinion. It doesn't mean we've got to do it, Trini said it. Gives a authority and an autonomy to the team to develop their own ideas, which is my learning curve. Then there's strong suggestion. This is a strong suggestion. You know, so we might be looking at something in weekly trade and I might just say, I think we should da-da-da. Strong suggestion. And I'll say the words, this is a strong suggestion. So somebody says, Trini, I want to challenge you on that. And they have the right to challenge. But if it doesn't work out, they have to come back and go through the process of why they think it didn't work out. So they have to really own their decision to not go with what I feel is right. Okay. But they have, you know, it, what I want most in that is that they do something I haven't thought of and it works, because then I think phenomenal. And when you get to a stage where there are cleverer people in the room, the relief is enormous, right? And then there is mandate. So mandate is, we're doing this. Now, up to this point, everyone felt everything out of my mouth was a mandate. So the most important thing in this is that they realize there's three ways that I will communicate. So, you know, when we can, as women, we can either feel guilty about everything or feel guilty about nothing, you know? Yeah.
A short break to thank Electrosol for supporting the Good Glow this season. So what do electrolytes do? Well, they help you stay hydrated by helping your body absorb and retain water, keeping you energized and refreshed. They simply replace fluids and essential electrolytes lost due to exercise, hot weather, travel or illness. Electrosol is available in flavors like blackcurrants, lemon and raspberry and orange. It's vegan friendly, gluten free, caffeine free and GMO free. You can find even more information on electrosol.ie.
Something else that's brilliant there that you were saying just about your staff when they come to you with a great idea and you're like, thank God, because like that's what you're paying them for, is to bring something outside of like your consciousness and everything going on with you. Jerry was also saying to me last week that like many people, their employees are always coming to them and they want more. Like, when am I going to get the promotion? When am I going to get the, you know, this, that, and the other? And he was saying, like, actually, when are you going to come in half an hour to work early? And when are you going to bring a big idea to the table? Is it hard for you to trust other people?
I've got somebody coming in the business in June in a major role. And before they come in, this section of the team is reporting to me. So I'm thinking, what do I need to infuse in the team before this person comes in? I need to infuse brand. I need them to wake up every morning and understand what we are, what we stand for, who our customer is, etc. Because that does evolve. We're 7 years in, that evolves. I need to see smartness from our team. I need to see smartness. And I hired somebody recently who didn't have a knowledge in the beauty industry, but I saw smartness in them. And that's what I saw in lots of team members who joined us very early in their career, who now run departments within our business, because they were inherently smart and intuitive. And those are two of the most important things, you know. And if I sometimes hire somebody with too much, it's based too much on their experience within a competitive industry, I always say, don't look over the fence too much. Keep in your own lane, because we can look and see what Merit are doing or Charlotte Tilbury are doing or whatever are doing. And I think they look at what we're doing a lot more than what we look at what they're doing. You know, we want it to start with us. I don't want to be copying other brands. I want our products to be innovative. I want the method by which we communicate to be innovative, because we forget in planet of anyone who has a business, whether you've started a business that has two people in it or 10 people in it, whether you have five customers or 100 customers, at some stage, you want to reach the customer who lives in Antarctica, yeah. Okay? Who knows bugger all about you. All right, so how are you going to let her know really quickly what you stand for? It's like when you're writing a CV. How do you really quickly get somebody to know what you are as a person? Because I read through so many CVs, all right? And I look through, and so many of them are, they are a ChatGPT template. And the heart of that person at the beginning is I would love to get a CV. I'd love to get a CV where at the beginning, it's like, this is what I'm like in an office environment. When I'm in my work, this is how I am. I like to get in on time. I like to have as much time as I can with the person above me because I want to learn from it. Or I like to do stuff by myself and only ask, but how do you work You know, not I've done this and I've done that. And then you look closely at the CV and you thought, yes, you did it. But with the 400 other people who are applying for this job who did it, it seems, you know, it's like, how do you give your character? Because in the end of the day, you hire somebody for their attitude to something and their means by which they're going to attack a problem.
Yeah, you know? That is such good advice. And can we talk about, because obviously you were saying there, like you're leading the charge, I think, as well, in terms of like a difference. And it feels like innovation, you know, something different, like your new tool, the cream for your neck, elevator cream.
Elevator, yeah.
Like I have a saggy neck and I can't even like talk about it. And then I guess on Instagram, I see it, you know, in your Instagram posts. I'm like, that is something I need, because you're giving your customer a certain feeling, or they feel seen by you. Yeah. So talk to us about like that trailblazing and like really going for a difference.
I think that whenever we think of something new that we want to invent, because the elevator to me is an invention.
Yeah.
It's about what problem do I want to solve? And it's a mixture, because with that, there were two different things. We came across an ingredient called Japanese Inconius, which is like a seep from a very tall plant, but it's basically the ingredient that makes the plant stay tall. And I just thought, that's amazing. And I have a very long neck like a giraffe. And I thought, how can this ingredient actually help my neck? All right. So those two came together at the same time. And then we thought, okay, what else do we want to do around a neck? So sometimes I start with the excitement and then we read clinical papers on this ingredient. And then we think, okay, this is really good. And then I always say, put 10% in. They'll clinical trials be at 2%. And I'll go, put 10% in. They'll get, there's an optimum percent you should put in, Trini. And I'll go, yeah, but I want you to test it. And Claire will go, Trini, you know, it does 60% change at 2%. And I go, what will it do at 10%? And then of course, we'll do 10%. And then the formulation will split and then we'll go down to 8% and then we'll land somewhere. But our formulations are very active and they're not always done on let's have a beautiful texture first and then put a sort of marketing level of ingredients in, because I feel this sort of slight frustration of the beauty industry. I think it's changing so much, but I do feel that some people grew up on the words anti-aging. I think that's nearly out of the industry now, which I think is great. There is this word youthful, which we use sometimes, lots of people use, but I'm thinking, to me, there's a real responsibility I think we have to say to women, because we can all do treatments. I do Botox, whatever. Why do I do Botox? Do I do Botox so I look younger? And what's that definition of what looking younger means to me? Now, my youth was not the happiest time in my life. What I want to do is I want to look in the mirror and I want to feel full of so much energy that I see reverberating off my face that I mentally can do anything. That's what I want. So if that means that my skin will feel clear, glowing, even, then give me that, all right? And if I feel that there's things I want to hide, I don't want to hide anything. I don't want to feel like Diana Keaton in, you know, let's put the polo neck halfway up and do all that stuff. Because by the way, a polo neck halfway up really shows your neck off much worse. You either have a full polo neck or nothing, okay? But going back to this sense that I never want to make something other people have made. I just don't. I just think there's so many of the same thing out there. When we make, like, I didn't make an eye cream because I didn't believe in bloody eye creams. But I did also know that if I could lift a sagging eyelid, that would be really amazing. And it took so long. It took 3 years, 57 times in the lab. And then we got clinical trials and then we proved it. And, you know, I looked at the before and after of the clinical trials and it was mesmerizing. Instead of crisscross lines, there was just a line going one way. And I thought, yes, now we have it. You know, and that moment when you know you have something, when you think that's actually going to work, because so many women are caught up within this industry in, oh, it smells nice. It feels good. That's the most amazing cream. And I know the ingredients in the cream. I know what's in the ink list. And I'm thinking all it is moisturizer.
Wow. Trini, You are absolutely glowing and beautiful and gorgeous. Thank you so much for your time. Can I ask you, like, what's next? Like, what's the big picture plan?
I think that America is very interesting for us because going to a new territory. We have been growing in Ireland, which I've loved, and we're in more Brown Thomases. So it's getting, it's building the team up there. It's building our philosophy there. That's really important to me. And I think that the Irish woman is evolving, you know, because she's really learning about what should I actually put on before I put on my makeup? You know,
yeah.
What's that? You know, skincare should not be the foundation for makeup. Skincare actually should get you to a place where you hardly need to wear any foundation. That's the nirvana. And that's why our foundations are never that heavy. We have concealers for people. That, but I would love that women get to a stage where they feel they don't need to wear so much coverage, you know, because their skin is there and it's in the most beautiful state. That's like the most exciting thing that we could achieve for women. But then give them makeup that makes them feel, this is who I want to be today, and change, you know, we're chameleons. We want to be one person one day and one the next. So to me, that's what makeup should do.
What do you say to yourself when you're doubting yourself? Like if you're looking in the mirror, giving yourself a pep talk just before you go, like what is the thing that you say to yourself that helps you keep going?
I would say, I say two things. I say 99% of everything you worry about never happens. I tell my daughter that so often. When she went to university, I put it on post-it notes around her bed because she was going abroad. She was a bit scaredy. And the other one is you never know what's behind the closed door. So don't make your life smaller ahead of you because you do not know.
Oh, wow. Trini, thank you. I hope I get to meet you someday.
Well, I'll be over in Ireland at some stage this year, so we will.
Yeah, and thank you for your time and your story and just all the knowledge, like we appreciate it. Thanks for making time for other women, you know, because you've such a successful business. You're so huge now and you're still taking the time to talk to people and mentor people and pass it on. And that is so important. And I'm so grateful for that.
That's really sweet of you to say that. Thank you so much. It was lovely to meet you like this and I hope to meet you in person.
Oh, huge thank you to Trini. And I think it's only when you listen to her story that you realize how busy she is. And the fact that she still makes time for other women in her diary is just so amazing. So I'm so grateful to her for the chat today. She's absolutely incredible and someone who I really admire. So as I said at the start, our Christmas show, Jingle All The Way, it's coming to the National Concert Hall on December 6th. If you want to grab some tickets for Mother's Day or for the woman who is like a mother figure in your life, you can bring them along. It's on December 6th. Tickets go on sale this Thursday. I'll leave a link in the show notes. And once we hit Thursday, that link will be live and you can grab the tickets there. As I said, there's going to be all new guests, all new music, and a Christmassy vibe like never before. I hope to see you next week. Talk to you then.